Please turn with me to Luke chapter 19. I'll be reading Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of God.
Good morning, one and all. My name is Pastor Wen Chong. A very warm welcome to all our friends who are visiting us here for the first time. If you are here this morning, I don't believe it is by chance that you joined us. And I'm sure you were sincerely and lovingly brought by a friend or a family member. Or perhaps you have been searching for truth and don't mind hearing what Christianity is all about. If so, we most certainly hope that you can get what you want looking for at the end of this service. If not, you can find us more at the welcome corner and we would love to know you later after the service. The topic I have chosen to speak on this special Sunday is Home with Jesus. Home is a very important aspect of our lives. It's more than just the concrete walls or the roof above our heads. I was taught in primary school that that's the infrastructure and that's called a house. But a home is a little closer to our hearts, isn't it? According to Kit Chan, this is what she says: "It's a place that will stay within me wherever I may choose to go. It's a place I know I must be, where my dreams wait for me. It's a place I'm sure my senses tell me, where I won't be alone." It's a National Day song, by the way. Our home is a very sacred space and very personal. It may not be very big or very luxurious, but a home is important to us. For some, the home is like a charging port, that no matter how hard a day, the home somehow has the ability to energize us. We sit on our couch, we lie on our bed, turn on some music, for some of us, turn on the TV, and when our eyes cannot take it anymore, we go to bed in that familiar smelling bed. For some of us, home isn't a home without a family. So for them, people makes the home homey. To be greeted by home-cooked food, someone to do your laundry, that's what I wish, playing with your favorite cute sibling or your newborn, these precious moments makes home a wonderful place to be in. Our home makes us feel safe. Our home keeps us secure. It comforts us, and in a home that is always love. Unfortunately, this isn't true for many of us. Instead of feeling safe and secure in our home, we find comfort and security outside of the home. Some of us find it in our workplaces. We find being at work more peaceful than being at home. Some of us find our security in money. and we make it our life mission to amass as much wealth as we can. For some who can't find comfort at home, quite unfortunately, they find it outside of their marriage. I know of many youths today that would rather stay out late with their friends than to go home to a quarrelsome family. Or sometimes the exact opposite, to find themselves home to an empty house where their parents are working and that they were all alone at home. A home which is supposed to be filled with love, security, and comfort slowly seems bleak and empty. Yes, there may be people in the house, but somehow we feel quite alone and lonely. We will examine together in today's sermon a very interesting account of this person named Zacchaeus and his encounter with yet another interesting person named Jesus. In so doing, we shall seek to explore what is the Christian's perspective of a home and how can it be filled with love and security once again. Before I begin, shall we open with a word of prayer? Dear God, thank you for bringing all of us here this morning. We want to especially thank you for bringing our new friends here. May your Holy Spirit move in our hearts, tune our ears to hear from you, and speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, character number one, who is Zacchaeus? According to Luke chapter 19, we are told that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. At first glance, without any prior knowledge to this career choice in Jesus' time, we would think that Zacchaeus was just a normal IRS agent. Inland Revenue Authority of Singapore. But if you understand the context of the first century, a tax collector was someone who had to be without a conscience. Why? Because you had to be okay profiting from the poor. The tax system then was so corrupt that it would have been useless to hire an auditor, because every single tax collector collected their tax under the table. And so we have here Zacchaeus, the chief of tax collectors. He was more than the Tai Ilong of the first century. He was the Tua Tai Ilong of the first century. On top of collecting regular tax for the Roman Empire, tax collectors would inflate the tax to get personal commission. The tax collectors stole from everyone, including the poor, in order to be rich. And in order for Zacchaeus to reach his chief tax collector status, he must have probably worked very hard in cheating and inflating tax from those he collected. Zacchaeus was rich, that's what Luke 19 tells us. But this career path that he chose has its issues as well. There's no perfect job in the world, right? The whole city hated tax collectors. Imagine the whole city associating you as the person that steals from them using the government's name. Everyone would be fine if the money was used to build better Roman roads or to dig cleaner wells or even to help with affordable health care. But everyone knew that a big part of the money was going into the pocket of the tax collectors. Tax collectors were despised, ostracized, outcast, and they were the scum of society. In Zacchaeus' pursuit for money, he lost all his dignity, lost all his friends, and lost any possible social contact with anyone. He must have been terribly lonely, terribly alone. Maybe he was thinking to himself, by climbing up this corporate ladder, his life would be better. By bringing in more money home, he thought his home would be more complete. But it didn't. Zacchaeus must have been terribly empty, extremely lonely. And isn't that true for all of us who work also very hard? Because we want to provide a better home for our family. But isn't it also true that sometimes in our pursuit of work, we do so at the expense of our family? We spend less time with them, more time at work. Slowly, we become more and more distant from the ones we love. We too may rather feel alone. So can you imagine the excitement and the hope Zacchaeus must have had when he knew about this very famous guy named Jesus who claims to be the Son of God? Perhaps he had heard stories of Jesus' healing, that Jesus performed miracles. And in an earlier account in the same book of Luke, Jesus was also seen to forgive sins. Maybe, he was thinking to himself, maybe this Jesus can solve his problem. Zacchaeus must have been incredibly curious to see if this guy was the real deal. So what do we know about Zacchaeus so far? He's a tax collector. He was rich. But because of his career choice, he was probably very lonely, despised by society. But he had one more problem. In verse 3, we are told that Zacchaeus was small in stature. And this hindered him from seeing Jesus face to face. There can be two possible explanations for what this small in stature means. Number one, he can be literally a very short person. Like me when I was 7 years old, when I wanted to watch the Chingay parade. I cannot see anything, so my father had to put me on his head so that I can see. But for Zacchaeus, he had no such person to help him. Or it could be number two. Literally, his stature in society was small. He was a 小人物. No holy man such as Jesus would associate himself with someone like Zacchaeus. Either way, that did not hinder Zacchaeus from wanting to see Jesus face to face. So Zacchaeus improvised and climbed the nearest sycamore tree to get a higher vantage point in order to get a better view of Jesus. Interesting that what began as a viewing session, all he wanted to do was just see, look, look, ended up becoming one of the most intimate dinner experiences with Jesus. Not anywhere, but at his very home. It's like us walking around Amukyo, and one of our MP who was walking around also say, "Hey, I want to go to your home. I want to eat what you can cook. After that, I want to watch with you at Channel 8, the Ping Fun. I never watched before, I think it just started." Jesus wanted to join Zacchaeus in his home, live with him, dine with him. And when Jesus extended this invitation to go to Zacchaeus' home, what did Zacchaeus do? Zacchaeus joyfully accepted this invitation and hurried home with Jesus. He must be thinking, "Oh, it's been a while since I had somebody in my home. And what more, such an important person like Jesus. Not his colleagues, the scum of society, but somebody so important." In fact, after that home visit Jesus paid to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus astonishingly stood up and gave Jesus his financial report. He told him how he was going to spend his money from now on. He said this, "Half I will give to the poor. The other half, I'll give back fourfold those whom I cheated." Astounding. What Zacchaeus was aspiring for when he was doing for his job was money. But immediately after one encounter with Jesus, he was willing to let that go. One encounter with Jesus, and Zacchaeus experienced joy. One visit to Zacchaeus' home, and he was willing to make amends for all the wrong he has done. So who is this Jesus? And why is he so powerful that one dinner experience can change Zacchaeus' life? Which brings me to my next character, Jesus. Jesus was born into this world and iconically marked our calendars and dating system. In fact, any historical events before Jesus' birth was dated BC. Jesus lived like any of us. He grew up in a normal Jewish family, followed his father's career as a carpenter, ate food like us, and slept. In fact, I think that was why Jesus approached Zacchaeus to have someone host him, because Jesus was human. According to the Bible, we are told that Jesus was the Son of God and was sent to earth for a mission. His mission? To seek and save the lost. Jesus was kind and benevolent. Instead of looking at Jesus like everyone else did, Jesus saw Zacchaeus with compassion. He was neither critical nor judgmental. Amidst the many qualified people that was surrounding Jesus, Jesus chose the one, the small person on the tree. He looked up and called Zacchaeus by name. "Zacchaeus, come, hurry. I must go to your house today." This one sentence tells us so much about Jesus. When everyone looked down and despised Zacchaeus, our Lord looked up and embraced him, and embraced Zacchaeus like one of his own, accepted him for who he was, and was willing to associate himself with him. And the fact that Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name also tells us that God wants to have a personal relationship with us. Either way, Jesus didn't allow the impression of others to affect his own interaction with Zacchaeus. Jesus wanted to know Zacchaeus personally. Jesus wanted to go to his home. Jesus went to his home. Remember early on, we covered that our home is a sacred space. We won't suka-suka open our homes to strangers, especially not one that we just met on a tree. But there was something different, so different about this Jesus person. I think Zacchaeus felt something he hasn't felt in a very long time. Zacchaeus must have felt loved. His dignity all gushed back to him when Jesus looked up at him, even noticing him. Zacchaeus must have been so moved and touched by this wonderful man that did him such a great favor by simply being associating with him, being in the presence of Zacchaeus. And even more, Jesus wanted to go to the home of Zacchaeus, his own personal space. But I believe Jesus wanted much more than just physically occupying Zacchaeus' home. Jesus wanted to be part of Zacchaeus' life. Jesus wanted a relationship with Zacchaeus. In many ways, we, all of us here, are like Zacchaeus. We work, we earn. For students here, we study so that we can secure ourselves a future. As Singaporeans, many of us find security and satisfaction in money, like Zacchaeus, isn't it? We work hard to climb the corporate ladder. For those of us who are in sales job, we work extra time. We go so all out so that we can get the commission, sometimes even the recognition of being top salesman. And same is it for students. We study so very hard so that we can get a sense of security in our grades, a sense of superiority where we compare our grades with our classmates. We do so to get the affirmation of others. We do so to get the affirmation of our parents. But perhaps like Zacchaeus, we have realized that these things do not truly satisfy. Nor does it really make us secure. We frantically try to amass wealth, but find that money cannot buy us security. We say we do it for our homes, but in reality, we may be doing it because of the emptiness inside of our hearts. Like Zacchaeus, we are surrounded by people, but we are awfully alone. And we long to have a deep, meaningful, significant relationship with someone else. And perhaps like Zacchaeus, you decided to come here today. You decided to wake up early in the morning to be here at Ang Mo Kio. And like Zacchaeus, you just wanted to come and see and understand who this Jesus person is. You're trying to understand, why does your friend or this particular family member goes to church every Sunday so diligently? You heard from them, you know, a little bit about who this Jesus is, but you want to come and see for yourself if this Jesus is real. And more importantly, you want to see if this Jesus can make a significant impact in your own life. Friends, family, hear the good news. That same invitation that was extended to Zacchaeus, who was on the sycamore tree, is extended to you today. Imagine God saying to you right now, by your name, Kenneth, come down. I must go to your home today. Or Adeline, Catherine, come, quick. I need to go to your house today. I want to eat and I want to know you more. Jesus' mission was to seek and save the lost. That same mission is his mission today. In fact, his mission was to come to earth, live, and eventually die on the cross so that we can accept, that we can be accepted, and that we can find true safety and true security, true joy and true satisfaction. On the third day, when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, it is so that he can prepare an eternal home for us. Only there can we find everlasting love, acceptance, and security. This place, this eternal home, the Bible calls heaven. Heaven is this eternal home that is void of quarrel and trouble. Jesus is currently, right now, preparing a table before us, a place with all our favorite food that we can lavish in God's everlasting presence. At his home, there will be no tears, no pain, no emptiness, because you will be with God. And you will never be alone, because God will be with you forever and ever. God opens his own home to us, his sacred space to us. But to enter this eternal home, we must first accept Jesus' invitation. To eventually join God in this heavenly home, we have to accept his invitation for him to come to our earthly homes. Remember how we started this sermon talking about home? I think our home is a reflection of our lives. And I intentionally chose a photo of a HDB. Some people are asking me throughout the week, oh, what does the three number mean? Got one more number or not? I deliberately chose this photo to show that this God is not just a God that is keen to enter a Jewish home 2,000 years ago, but that he very much wants to come to our home here, us here in Singapore. The analogy of the home is used to truly describe our lives. When our homes are empty and our homes are insecure, it is perhaps likely because our lives are empty and that we find very little meaning in the things that we do. When we cannot find security at home, we find it outside of the home. It's because in life, we feel insecure. With the permission of this church member, let me share with you his testimony. He grew up in a home where there were quarrels at least once a week. Sometimes, to avoid the shouting and the fighting at home, he would take very long showers because when he was under the shower, the pouring water drowned out the noise outside of in the living room. Soon, didn't take long, he found himself outside of the home. He invested a lot of his time on his girlfriend, and with the rest of his time, he worked very hard. At the age of 20, he was earning $3,000 a month. But yet, he wasn't able to save a single cent. He gave his heart to his girlfriend, and with whatever time he had left, he gave to his work. For a 20-year-old, I must say, he's doing quite well. He had the friends, he had wonderful friends, or at least he thought, who would often ask him out to go drinking, sometimes to gamble, club, or even pub. He was surrounded by friends, but somehow he knew that these friends were there because he had more money than them. On the outside, this 20-year-old kid had everything together. He had a high-paying job, friends who he could hang out with, but yet deep down, he was very, very lonely. And when he went home, he felt even more like a stranger to these people that he shared the same surname with. Eventually, he got fed up and decided to invest all his time and heart in this person called Jesus. He wanted to give this Jesus a shot because he heard a song in church singing, "Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and he will turn your sorrow into joy." From that day, he took those words literally. He gave them all. He quit his job, eventually stopped drinking, going to public places like clubs and pubs, because he found those things meaningless. When his income dropped because he quit his job, so did all of his friends. In a short 2 months, none of these friends were anywhere near to be found. But he found comfort in the church. Loving Christians who were there when his parents wanted to get a divorce. People who were there who went through with him a very difficult breakup. He found comfort in God's church. He found security in a benevolent, loving Savior. And his name, Jesus Christ. That day, he invited Jesus into his life, and I'm very certain that Jesus lives within him until now. So you might be thinking, what must I do? What must I do to invite Jesus into my home? What must I do to invite Jesus into my life? The answer is found in the acronym in your bulletin. I put three blanks there, A, B, and C, which I want you to pay very close attention to because it's very important. A, accept Jesus' invitation to enter your home. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." Jesus is standing at your heart. He will not break down your door. He will not force himself in. He wants us to open the door to invite him in. Right here, right now, Jesus is knocking on the doors of our hearts. And if anyone hears his voice and opens the door, Jesus promises to go in, know you, eat with you, and you with him. B, believe. Believe that Jesus lived, died, and ascended into heaven so that he can keep you safe and secure. This is the main premise of what a Christian believes. We believe that Jesus Christ is our only Savior, and that the way to be with God, to this eternal place called heaven, is what a Christian believes. You must believe that security cannot be found anywhere else other than in this person named Jesus Christ. This is the reason why your friend or your family comes week after week for service. This is why they are different. This is why they are filled with hope. This is why they are filled with joy. It is because they believe that Jesus lives within themselves. And lastly, C, change the way you are living. Things cannot be the same anymore. You must repent from your old ways. For Zacchaeus, he changed his career path altogether. It's like us receiving news from a doctor that a cancer has been found in your lungs, but we can remove it. All you have to do is to change your lifestyle. How sad that many Christians that I know today, they can accept A, they can accept B even, they accept Jesus, they believe in Jesus, but little change is seen in their lives. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, says this: "If conversion to Christianity makes no improvement in a man's outward action, then I think we must suspect that his conversion is imaginary." Accepting and believing in Jesus must mean change. And for those of you who are new to Christianity, or that you're here for the first time and you want this change, can I recommend some pointers of how to see change in your life? I use this to teach the students, and I use this to teach children even. It's very simple. Number one, you pray. Life is not the same when you pray, because previously it was all about ourselves, but we pray because we pray to a God that we believe in. Number two, we open the Bible and start reading it for what it is. The Bible contains all that we need to know about who this God is. And if you do not know how to read the Bible, just come to any one of us here in the church, the pastors, the leaders, your friend even. They will help you and understand the Bible better. But the third and more important reason that you can see the change in your life, like your friend or your family member, is go to a church. Because in a church, you'll be surrounded by people like you, Zacchaeus, that we are all the same, saved by what Jesus has done. And eventually, when you are ready, God will want you to go and tell others about who he is. Jesus doesn't look down on us. Instead, he looks up to see us as his beloved. He doesn't nag at us about our wrongdoings, our misdeeds, our poor choices. Instead, Jesus longs to dine with us, talk with us, be in a relationship with us. In a few moments' time, I will invite the music team to lead us in a closing song. And I encourage you to sing the song as a response for God's great love for you. It all boils down to this single moment that God has prepared for you. He wants you to make a choice. If you are here today and you sense Jesus is knocking on your door, won't you open your door to your heart and allow him to come in? Come down from that tree. You are here. Jesus wants to live with you. Jesus wants to be in your home. I ask you to repeat after me later when I say a prayer and make it your own personal prayer. It may be your first time praying, but I assure you that this decision that you make to accept Jesus into your life, into your home, will be one that you will never regret, because life will never be the same again. Can I invite all of us to bow our heads with every eye closed? If you sense that Jesus is knocking your heart and you want to respond, you want to accept, you want to believe, and you want to change this life that you have been living, repeat after me if you want Jesus' invitation to enter into your life. Say this: Dear Lord Jesus, I accept your invitation. I welcome you into my life. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Forgive me for all the wrong I have done. Come into my life and change me. Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.